You have questions. Find your answers at starspsychics.com.
Hello, I'm Natalie, owner of starspsychics.com. I am dedicated to providing affordable access to spiritual advisors. Here are two satisfied clients who will tell you what it's like to work with me.
Quoting Jackie.
It's a comfortable site. Everybody is so friendly. They treat you like family.
Barb added this about Natalie.
She's a kind and caring person who gives accurate readings.
You have questions? Find your answers today at starspsychics.com. That's stars with a Z, psychics.com.
Hi, everybody. It's Natalie, also known as Starscast. And, you know, I always start the show like that, don't I? And you're probably thinking, yes, Natalie, we know who you are. But anyway, some people might be listening for the first time and they really don't know who I am. I want to welcome you tonight. We have an awesome guest tonight. Of course, you know I say that every week, but each week I really mean it. He's just really awesome. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit about what's going on in the world. I want all of you to follow the rules, whatever your state, county, city requires you to do. Kids are supposed to be going back to school. Now, my granddaughter is not. She's going to do all virtual for now. And she's pretty happy about that, and I'm happy about it too. But this is a tough time for everybody. Just know you're not in this by yourself. You are not. It doesn't matter. The job that I do, the job my guest does, and all the other guests, they're in the same boat. They're feeling the same thing. But I do want you to be safe out there and know how much you're loved. And so I'm going to bring my guest on right away because you're going to love talking to this person here and listening to him. His name is Vincent Jenna. How are you tonight, Vincent?
Oh, my gosh, I'm doing wonderful, especially now. Thank you for having me on the air.
Doesn't he have a great voice?
No.
I told you you'd love him. Well, it's true.
Oh, it's getting
old,
let me tell you.
I think we need to start at the beginning. You do so much. First of all, I want to tell everybody what you're doing. You're a medium. You're a psychic medium. You work through the Unity Church. You have a radio show, of course, and we'll talk about that. It's called Stop Stopping Yourself on Unity Online Radio. But you teach all kinds of things, psychic and mediumship skills and all of that. But, Vincent, I want to start at the beginning with you. How did you discover any gifts you have? And what happened to you? Did this come to you when you were very small?
No. Everybody says they figure that because so many people have had those experiences like at 5, at 6, at 9, at 10. They walk into their bedroom. They see an angel sitting at the foot of their bed. Oh, my gosh, mommy, an angel. And it's like, you know, maybe it was grandma. No, for me, I walked into my bedroom and my mother was sitting at the foot of the bed with a spoon in the hand ready to hit me for something she thought I did, you know. So, no, I didn't have that experience, but what I did have instead, it was thrust upon me, Natalie. And you know the old saying, watch out for what you ask? Well,
oh, yeah.
Okay. So here I'm at my 10-year high school reunion. Now, mind you, prior to that, all the way until I was 17 years old, I was the bullied one at school. Beat up constantly, chased, shoved in lockers, head flushed in toilets, thrown in dumpsters, peed on, spit on. And the guy who caused so much of that, the antagonizer, was the class clown super jock. Right? And so all he'd have to do is say my name, Vinny, and everybody would start antagonizing me. Well, it was my 10-year high school reunion, and my wife and I was already married, had a child already, he was 3.5 years old, and we decided to go because I had just finished doing the movie Grease with John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John. I used to be a professional singer, actor, and dancer before all of this. I never knew this was coming. All I wanted, Natalie, was an Oscar, an Emmy, a Tony. That's all I cared about in my professional acting career. Okay?
Awesome.
So here I was, a dancer, and of course, if we know the history of the movie Grease, it was an overnight sensation. So, of course, anybody who was in it then was an automatic star, even though I wasn't one of the stars for sure. I was one of the dancers and a lot of times in the background. But it didn't matter because my high school reunion was only about 3 years after the movie was released and became very famous. I was in all my local newspapers, and they were wondering, is Vincent going to come to the reunion? Of course I was going to come to the reunion, and I had a big chip on my shoulder. Yeah, I wasn't going to miss going, especially since everybody was so impressed. And I wanted to show them. This was the attitude, of course. I was a young guy. I did the movie at 23 years old. Actually, 22. It was released when I was 23. So I'm at my high school reunion. I'm 28 years old, so I'm still fairly young. When I walked in there, it was just like a Cinderella story. They embraced me, and they were apologizing for all the abuse. The girl sat around my table all night long asking questions about Hollywood and John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John. And the kid who caused most of my antagonism came running up to me, yelling my name, held me like there is no tomorrow. This giant bear hug, he wouldn't let me go. He sat at my table most of the night. He brought over the other jocks. You got to come and talk with Vince. He's so funny. He's a great guy. They all fell in love with me, all the ones who were picking on me. So this guy actually became a really dear friend. But here's what happened. He was also the guy, the only one of the reunion that rented a Porsche automobile to impress everybody. It wasn't his car, but he wanted everybody to think it was. He was bragging about the success of his job, his wife, his sweetheart from high school. He has three kids, has a beautiful condo in Connecticut. He even invited my wife in over for a weekend. And for some reason, something inside of me said, this is all wrong. I had no idea why I was feeling that, but I was. And after we spent the weekend with him, we're driving home, and I'm in tears. I'm in literal tears, crying. And I'm going, oh, my God, his life is falling apart. And my wife was like, what do you mean? He's got this beautiful condo in Connecticut, and he's married. He has three kids. I said, no, I know. That's all a lie. Everything is a lie. Everything he told us today was a lie. And I was in tears and cried out to God because I didn't know what to do to help him. And I cried out to God, please give me the ability to help him. Please, and him and anybody else like him, because I know what it's like to have your self-esteem torn away from you, from my youth. Now, here's the big question. Why did I ask God to help me help him?
To help him.
Why didn't I just ask God to help him? Go help him. I didn't. I asked him to help me, and within a week, Steven Spielberg and Cecil B. DeMille would have been proud of the epic, unbelievable movie that began to transpire in my life at 28 years old. Within a week after that prayer, and for the next 3 months, I was experiencing all this different paranormal stuff, swirling smoke, spirits and guides, Jesus talking to me, Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat spirit talking to me, and he's going to be my guide, me trancing these spirits coming out of me, all of this stuff that never happened to me before. My wife didn't know whether to call the local psychiatrist, that's right, the local priest to have me exorcised, or the local rabbi, because she was Jewish. She didn't know what was going on with me. But that's how it all started, from that one prayer. So it was thrust upon me, Natalie. I guess I asked for it in hindsight, but I didn't know that that's what I was asking for. And
well,
for the past 37 years,
I think it was just part of the plan for you, though, don't you think? I mean, you know, we all, when I was young, I didn't think I was going to be doing, I was talking about this last week, did not in even a small thought think what I was going to be doing now. I have three websites. I had no clue, not a clue.
Wow.
It's true.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened, and I believe it was part of my soul plan, because how could my greatest enemy become my greatest gift. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have these gifts. So I went back to him after all of this was happening, and he was my first spiritual student. Well, long story short, he is now a spiritual teacher. He speaks highly of me all the time. He sends people to me all the time. He's my greatest fan. It's unbelievable. He is my right-hand man. He is my Peter. You know, shall we say, if he was a disciple at all, which I don't like, you know, looking at it that way. But yeah, that's exactly what happened. And it's, you know, here I am all 37 years later doing this stuff. And yes, it did amaze me. I still want a Tony, an Emmy, and an Oscar, though. So I got to figure out how to get my...
Let's go back to that. Did you do anything else? Acting or anything? Did you do any... More?
Oh yeah, I did a lot of work. I was mostly in musical theater, so I did a lot. I actually sing at my events, my own events. I still sing. I do spiritual Broadway songs, you know, to dream the impossible dream. You never walk alone. All of those things, I do them during my shows because it's kind of like a one man show. What the acting did was give me the ability to be able to deal with this information and hand it to people in an intense but a loving, humorous way so I can get them strong messages. You know, I know how to touch another human soul and heart, and that's what the acting did for me. But now I have a greater message to be able to deliver using the same tools.
Exactly, and you can do one-on-one. You don't have to.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, do one-on-one from all over the world.
This was part of the plan for you, but you know, you were fortunate. You found out when you were pretty young. I knew nothing.
I know.
From nothing. I've been doing this, running all I can. You know, since 1998.
You know what? Yeah, but you know what? You did it better than me. And I'll tell you why. Because when it started happening to you, you accepted it sooner. It took me most of my life, Natalie, to accept what was happening to me and use it. I was an obstinate Italian New Yorker. Those are three things
Italian.
That go against you. Yeah. And Sicilian.
Oh, my family's from Naples, Napolitan.
No, Napolitan. We didn't let any Napolitans in our family.
Irish with each other.
But we do make Napolitan. I make Sicilian pizza. Not Napolitan pizza. I'm sorry. No. But yes, and so you know, my obstinance kept me from accepting what was happening. Plus, I didn't want to call myself a psychic. I apologize to any of your California listeners right now, because all I thought when I was growing up and this happened to me, that only loonies from California were psychics, okay? I didn't see it as anything legitimate. And so I didn't want to accept that that's what was happening to me. And so I used to call myself an intuitive. See, I was intuitive counselor. I know. Because I didn't, what was I going to do? Put another palm outside Brother Vinny next to Sister Sarah's palm on the streets and the highway, you know? This was like, no, I'm Cousin Vinny. I'm not Brother Vinny. You know, I can't do that. Yeah, yo, Vinny, yeah, that's what I was saying. And a therapist, as a therapist, you would see me saying, wait, what's the matter with you? You think you got a problem? Get over it, eh? You know, that's what people were afraid of when they were first coming to me. I was a psychic therapist. I went to school and became a psychotherapist. I got my degree and my license purposely so I'd have that background. So you don't look at me just as a psychic.
You just wanted something on your wall to show that you were legitimate, not this.
Well, on my wall, yes, because I wanted people to think about it another way. But in my mind, Natalie, I have got more tools of the mind, the human mind, because of the training that I went through. So I know how to handle it, and I can go deeper than most because of that. They're afraid to opening up Pandora's box. I welcome opening up Pandora's box for people because that's where most of their negativity and blockages are. And that's why I go there.
Yeah. Now, do you do? So I'm assuming that you obtained more and more gifts, or you understood what you had, what you could do, how could you use them to help people? Okay.
Yes.
But you know, you have a child that's growing up, and what did this child think of you?
Oh wow, we had two children.
Okay.
Well, it was difficult for them in the beginning to accept that their father was doing all of this stuff. But because of all the evidence, they saw people coming to me, and they saw me being able to describe things and tap into their lives, and they were unbelievably impressed by me. Well, let's put it this way, all right? My daughter's friends and my son's friends are my friends as well. They have come to me not only for readings, for guidance. My son used to play hockey, and he recalled the other day that we went to a hockey tournament when he was young, and I chaperoned them. I brought him and two of his friends, and we had to stay overnight at a hotel. And he said that night, he said, the guys were talking to my dad so much it turned into a therapy psychic session, and he's tapping in and helping them. They still come over my house every Thanksgiving to see me, just
yeah.
to say hello. So we grew so close together. So they were totally impressed. And now my grandchildren, oh, my God, my older grandson has absolutely no problems telling anybody that I'm a psychic. And he even tells the kids at school, and he's so funny. He said, yeah, Poppy, I told everybody in school today that you're a psychic. I said, oh, my gosh, you're kidding me. He said, what did the kids say? He said, the kids said, what the heck is that? And then I had to explain it.
Yeah,
and he said,
yeah.
But I told the teachers. I said, oh, gosh, what did the teachers say? They all went, ooh, that sounds exciting. And so they brag about me all the time. The baseball parents have come to me. It's so accepted now, Natalie, in the world. Even my wife.
It really is wonderful. It is.
It is. It is
when
totally.
I started, and I started as an astrologer. Basically, yeah, because I was sponsored by somebody pretty famous to get into the AFA and all of that. She kind of took me under her wing, and I connected with another author, and I learned a lot from them. I really did.
Wow,
I was all self-taught, all of it. I mean, nobody taught me. And I think that was just the door opening a little bit for me because – I mean, I did readings at home, but I didn't, not like you. I mean, I'm not a medium. I don't see things. I can hear. I'm clairaudient, but I can't, Vincent, I can't hear when I want to hear. It's only when they want me to hear.
Right.
You know, and I really, the most things that I hear is I'll wake up, my phone will ring. It's not my phone, but a phone will ring.
Wow.
And I'll open my eyes, and I have no idea who it is. It's not my phone. But it's some kind of a signal or a notification that somebody is near. That's the only thing I can think of. It could be my almost sister. Could be her because she was a medium and she knew I could hear. Yeah, so that would be her doing it.
Like, absolutely.
Well, I'm going to ring this bell and I'm going to let her know that it's me.
Right, exactly. That's probably the way she's communicating with you.
Yeah, but I don't know anything. I don't see any... I've had some not prophetic dreams. I've had some wonderful dreams. I did have a visitation, and I've said this a few times, but I want to tell you because of what you do. I was really ill. I almost died. And I woke up one night. I mean, I had a virus, believe it or not. Not this kind of virus. I mean, it attacked my whole body. I mean, I could not stand. It just did a number on me. I woke up, and my room, listen to this, was a golden yellow. And I sat up, and I thought, oh, this has got to be a dream. This has got to... I'm covering my eyes and blinking my eyes and looking around. It wasn't a dream. And so I had to figure out, where is this coming from, right? Well, I looked at my back wall, and there was a crystal about 7 feet high, and that's where the glow was coming from. But the crystal was one of, you know, a raw crystal. It wasn't smooth. It was coming from all the edges. That yellow is coming from all the, to heal me, obviously. But it was something more. I mean, you know, and I worked for a huge psychic organization in Michigan. I collected all the money. I mean, I was the keeper of the funds. and they all said, "Oh, that was to helium." And I didn't know what I know today. I would really argue with them. I said, "Oh no, no, I had to see it. Don't you understand? This could have happened when I was asleep. I had to see it." And that's the most important thing for me, is I saw it.
Of course.
And because there wasn't anything they could do for me. Just give me these two injections daily, and that was it. There wasn't any cure. And, of course, I survived. But
wow.
I think that did something, that opened something for me, made me aware. And I never saw it again. This was many years ago. Yeah, I've had dreams of Jesus, but...
I could tell you what that was.
What was it?
I can tell you, yeah, who it was. It can come in any form, obviously, but when it really wants to see you, it would take the purest, most powerful form that it could, especially if it was trying to open your eyes and give you an impression. And it wasn't just to help heal you, because, yeah, you're right. They could have just, you know, sent a beam of light while you were sleeping or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and you would have
right.
been healed. But it wanted you to know your relationship with it, and that was God.
Well, Maya, the one that passed away, she told me, she worked for me on my one site, and we talked every day, and she said, I think she did it on one of the shows, she said, "I think it was God." I said, "Well, why? Because."
Why not?
She said, "How many people, I mean, what does God look like? Do you know?" I said, "Well, I guess I have something in my head." "Right," she said, "you have this idea. But you had to see it." But what I don't understand is, I mean, look what I'm doing. Yes, it kind of put me on the path, but not for many years, though, Vincent. It took a really long time. Wasn't until I got a computer and I worked for America Online and I met somebody and we had this little...
So you did the same thing I did.
You know, it's like...
Jesus came to me and I took forever before I started using what he gave me. You know what I mean? It's just like we got to get through our own stuff.
Right, and you're probably right because it was huge,
and it was
like, okay, but you know, you got to know you're gonna do this. You're gonna make a difference. And
that's
I
right.
feel for me, I mean, I have all these beautiful people that work for me, but I feel that what I do like right now is so important. And
way beyond that, you're waking up souls. And here's the thing that everybody has to understand, and mostly you right now, it doesn't matter how long it takes us to get the message, it's that we got the message that matters, and
mm-hmm.
we chose to listen. So timing, there is no time in the universe and in God's world. And Albert Einstein tried to teach that to all of us. The theory of relativity is all about there is no such thing as time. It's completely relative to your perception, to human perception. So however long it takes us to get anything going, I mean, look at how long it took. Jesus sent his disciples out. It took 300 years before the church was actually formed. Okay? And meanwhile, he was there, and it's like getting out. It mattered not what the timing is, because the souls are eternal. So the point is that you did it within this lifetime, which is amazing. Can you imagine how many other lifetimes you may have had to do this and you didn't do it, and in this one lifetime you're getting it done? And the number of people in how many years that you have affected. So absolutely, Natalie, you have done it, and you should be. Here's where what we need to do, both of us, because I don't do it enough either. We have to appreciate the choices we're making. If we don't appreciate ourselves and what we're doing, it's not easy to replicate.
It's true.
Appreciate yourself. Appreciate
it. Yeah, and I don't often enough.
Exactly, you don't. Right. Right, you are giving people...
No, I mean, that's just, we fall into that trap or that hole that's in the ground there, and then we're trying to pull ourselves out, and it's...
Oh, yeah,
it's
and
tough,
remain
but...
humble. Oh, you got to be humble, right?
Oh,
but you know what?
Yeah.
They thought Jesus was the most humble man that existed, or the earliest of the spiritual leaders, right? But he walked around the entire time saying, I am the way and the truth and the life. I and my Father are one. I am the good shepherd. I am the light of the world. He had so many I ams in there. I'm like, okay, if he's supposed to be humble, according to our records, he'd be the most egotistical man on the face of the earth.
But in actuality,
right, because always saying I am. But here's what he said, the follow-up that we removed the rest of his sentences. The rest of his sentences were, and so are you. And so what humility really is recognizing your own greatness and everyone else's too. But you have to start by recognizing your own. So, but we've been taught you're a sinner, you're only human, you're weak, your ego is getting in the way. They're constantly downplaying us. Even today, the spiritual leaders, what do you hear from all of them? Your ego. Your ego is getting in the way. You have to go beyond your ego. It's constantly placing a fault and a weakness to us. And so how do you get to appreciate who you really are? And aren't we supposed to appreciate it? I'm not appreciating you less by appreciating me. As a matter of fact, I appreciate you more by appreciating myself.
Right.
Right? And that's the biggest problem in the world.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, we are so hard on ourselves. But I've learned to recognize just recently, as a matter of fact, that if there's something or someone you want in your life, and you keep talking to God every day, well, come on, God, okay, let me make my own decisions. However, and I realize this, sometimes God makes a decision and says, nope, no, I believe that. This is not going to be good for you. I'm not going to throw you to the wolves. I'm not going to do this to you. That's what I think for me, I'm going to tell you.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
No.
I will
add to it, though. Yeah, what? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. You finish. Go ahead.
Well, as sad as I get, because it's something that I would like to have come in my life just so that I can make my own decision, whatever, you know, But then I started thinking, you know, I believe with everything I have. I really, really do. I mean, I really do. And, you know, sometimes I would yell at God, you know, I do so many things for everybody. Look what I'm doing. I do the radio show. Do I get paid for it? No. I do all of this. And then I'll calm down and I'll start to meditate. And then last week I thought to myself, you know what, did you ever start to think, or stop to think, rather, that God can see ahead, and he is not going to place you, Natalie, into a place that won't be good for you, that will not allow you to continue doing what you're doing. And I, you know, I'm older and I have great health. That's another thing that, and I guess I have to take it back to that huge crystal that I saw. You know, I don't look my age. I'm really blessed. But I came to that conclusion, even though I didn't like it, you know. I mean, we don't always like, we want what we want. I mean, we're human.
Well, here is what I would like to add to that, Natalie. You said so many profound things, and I would love even all your listeners to understand it in this way, okay?
Sure.
It's like Earth is like Toys R Us. Toys R Us. And we are like children that go into Toys R Us. Now, when we're let loose in Toys R Us by ourselves, we think we want everything. Oh my gosh, I want this game over here. Holy cow, this is so great. Wait a minute. He's playing with that rocket over there. I'd rather the rocket. Holy cow. Oh wow, he's got a PF4. I want the PF4. That's amazing. We don't know what we think we want. That's the problem. However, when we have one of our parents with us, mom or dad, come into the store with us, and they say, you can have whatever game you want, right? And we go to head towards something and go, wait, Natalie, you really don't want that? I know you. The last time you had something like that, you played for it maybe for an hour, and then you never went back to it because you really don't. No, I really do. No. I tell you what. Why don't you look at the models, or why don't you look at the dolls over here? Because I know that that's what you're going to enjoy better. That's how God acts with us. And here is the thing. God can never, ever, ever truly intercede. It only guides. We make the choice to listen.
Yes.
Your soul makes the choice. So you may not consciously be aware, but if God is saying to your soul, no, now is not good timing, you shouldn't get that now, your soul will stop the process, so that way you're not more disappointed. I'll give you a perfect example. All right, for the past couple of years, I and my PR team have been working so hard on getting me my own television show. It has gone so far that the Oprah Winfrey Network and TLC and several other networks, all the way up to the top executives, were just about ready to put me on the air and then change their mind and slip something else in. And I can't tell you how disappointed I have been, just like you. I'm sitting there going, I am doing all this work. Why can't you just give me my dream? Why do you give me that taste in my mouth? You're the one who gave me the inspiration for it, and now you keep taking it away. But with this COVID-19 and what happened, every single television show stopped.
Correct.
Mine would have definitely stopped. And chances are they wouldn't have picked it up again because I wouldn't have had a long enough time to gain enough popularity for them not to unsign me. They would have canceled the show. I didn't know that was going to happen.
It's called timing.
Right, but God did know it was going to happen. So it said, not now. And my soul said, you're right, not now. We're not going to manifest now. We're going to manifest it at a better time. Now, we're impatient, darn it, because you know what? You and I keep getting older every year.
Yeah.
Yeah, if we could stop that clock, we wouldn't care how long it took, right?
Yeah, who cares? Take 10 years for this. I don't care. Right.
I don't know if you looked at any of my pictures, but everybody keeps complimenting me on the head of hair that I've got, right? So now I use it with God. I say, okay, look, God, everybody loves my hair. If you wait any longer, I'm going to hardly have any left. And I want to be able to remember how good of a job I'm doing. So please get me on sooner than later. It's very funny we say that, but the timing, it is all about timing. And it is all about what the higher part of us, God, Spirit, knows that we really want. So it's not that anything has been taken away from you. It's that, no, there's something better. There's always something better, and the timing is better. Trust me. Trust me. And I will. That's what surrendering over is all about.
Oh, yeah. I know. It's
so hard.
Sometimes it's painful. But I always tell myself, and I'll talk to God. I trust you, okay? And I'll say out loud, if this were to have happened now in my life, it would be a mess. I can see
That's right.
I would have been put into a mess.
Right.
No, I don't want that. No, I don't want to be in a mess. I want it to be right. And you know, timing is everything. I believe it. Doesn't mean it's not going to happen for me. It's just not now. And I just have to continue with my beautiful work that I love to do. I really do. I've got some callers. I don't know if you want to talk to them or not.
Oh, my goodness. Sure. We have, I don't know how much time we have left, but yeah.
Oh, my darling, we have plenty of time.
Oh, okay. There we go.
Hold on. Okay, let me get this first one and see. So I'm going to just hold on. I'm going to go to mute. And
hi, this is Priestess Candy Ranson. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm sorry, what is your first name?
Priestess Candy Ranson.
Priestess Candy Ranson. That's one name?
Listen, I'm Natalie's assistant.
Oh, okay. There you are. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I believe Natalie's back now. And are you back, Natalie? No, she's not. Okay, she's still talking.
Hello?
Oh, you back.
Yep. Thank you for taking
okay.
the call. How are you today?
Okay, Vincent, I've got Michelle on the air with you.
Yes, this is Michelle.
Hi, Michelle. How are you today?
I'm well. How are you?
Not bad at all.
Vincent, I've got Michelle live on the air with you.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Hold on.
There you go.
Michelle,
go ahead,
are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm waiting.
Fabulous. Can I ask you what your question is for me tonight?
I don't know. Are you doing readings, Vincent, or?
Yeah, well, what I'm doing is I answer specific questions so that way more information can come out rather than just a general reading. So if there is something that you know that you need an answer to, that would be the best.
Okay, beautiful. I have a very, very, very long financial situation going on, and I just wondered if it's going to change anytime soon.
Okay, and it's a what type of situation is it, did you say?
Financial.
Financial situation. All right, okay.
Yes.
All right, it didn't matter because when you said financial, I'm hearing, okay, drawn out. Okay, here is the issue. Okay. I am feeling that when you were younger, you were made to feel unworthy and undeserving.
Yes.
Okay. And so what that has done is it ingrained in you deep down in your unconscious mind, even as an adult, that you don't deserve abundance, that you don't deserve financial security for some reason. And so what you have been doing is blocking it completely, completely, unknowingly. Unknowingly, you're doing that. So anytime money has a chance to come to you, you'd be the first unconsciously to say, oh, I don't deserve that. I'm not a good enough person. It shouldn't be for me. Give it to somebody else. And that is what's been blocking your ability to have abundance. We are capable, and it's been proven, to go from $0 to millionaires overnight. And if you don't believe me, look at some of the people out there who are millionaires at 20, 30, 40 years old, the simple thing that they did that turned them into millionaires. And even with people that receive checks in the mail unknowingly, the only way that that happens is by believing you deserve it. You must change that attitude. You must find that with a little girl inside and let her know how deserving she really is. You've been through so much already. You've been through a lot of loss and a lot of hardship. And it is not your fault you're going through that. It's because you were made to believe that that's all you deserve. The moment you turn that around, and it could be by the time you hang up this phone, you can all of a sudden receive and end your financial burden. So they can end within the next couple of weeks. Opportunities can make themselves apparent to you really quick. Just start working on it. Open the door to what I'm saying. Take that little girl and embrace her, because you would never want your own daughter or your own son to come to you and say, no, mommy, I don't deserve anything. I'm a bad boy. I'm a bad girl. I shouldn't have anything. You would never let them believe that. So you stop believing it, and you will turn it around before the end of the year. Now, of course, it is very difficult times right now, right? There's a lot of financial loss all over the place. But the people who are experiencing less financial loss are the ones who believe that they deserve abundance. And so they're experiencing this crisis less painfully than the others. So you can still turn it around in the midst of this crisis. You need to believe in yourself. And I'm getting Archangel Michael just turned around and said, you need to believe you're more than what you are. You don't have a strong enough self-belief. Mm-hmm. And you don't believe you're divine. You don't believe you're magnificent. And you certainly don't believe you're really a worthy child of God. And that really is what it's all about. And it doesn't matter what the definition you hold of God, but the idea that you're more than this physical body is what you need to believe in at this point. And you will turn it around before the end of the year. And by 2021, you'll definitely see a significant jump in your financial status, okay?
Beautiful. How would I do that? How do I do that? By meditation?
Change your beliefs. Bring your beliefs to the surface, like we talked about. Go back into to that little girl, deal with her, and let her come up and tell you what she's really thinking and feeling. Do not be afraid to be able to admit what's deep down inside of you, because that's the only way you can heal it.
Okay, thank you so much, Vincent.
You're very welcome. I wish you the best. You're going to do great.
You too.
Thank you.
Thank you,
bye-bye,
Michelle,
now.
For calling in. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
It is a trying time. You know, I'm seeing it in my business.
Of course.
But the problem for me, and I'm sure a lot of my readers are listening, is that I feel all of them. I want this for all of them. I see them, you know, they log on, and some of them don't make any money. Some of them do. But it's gotten to the point where it stresses me out, because I don't know. It's really hard to control. I do know that it will all turn around. I mean, the pendulum always swings back, but it's during this time that it makes it most difficult that you really, you know, I just feel for every one of them. I'm okay. I mean, I'm fine.
Right,
you know,
right. And that's because you created what I call a spiritual bank account. And this is what everybody needs to be able to do. The problem is people don't turn to their spiritual side until they're in the middle of a crisis.
Yeah.
That's when people pray the most and try to do the right thing. Well, that's not the time to do it, because that's at your weakest point. It's when you're at your good point, when you feel centered, when you feel calmer, when things are going right. That's when you're supposed to open up a spiritual bank account. How do you open up a spiritual bank account? You follow some kind of spiritual belief. That has nothing to do with religion, by the way. Religion was mankind's way of expressing their spiritual beliefs, but that wasn't the only way. Spirituality has to do with what you believe you are, your relationship to some powerful force, whatever that is that you want to define, your relationship to others, and your relationship to this earth. That's all spirituality is, your beliefs in that. But you have to have some. You can't be walking around just thinking you're human, because if you do, you're going to go through human limitations then. But if you understand that you're spiritual, then all of a sudden you're motivated to be compassionate, to be caring, to be kind, to be helpful, to be loving. That's how you make deposits into your spiritual bank account.
Well,
and
I've
then why
been
is
doing
that,
that, Vincent. Trust me.
You have been. And I've been doing it as best I can, too.
Yes.
That's what you can depend on. Then when a crisis occurs, because there are going to be crises. Look, you drive a car, you're going to get a flat tire someday. But it doesn't mean you have to end up in a six-car pileup.
Right.
The same thing with life. I myself had a heart attack back in 2017. Now, it was a surprise to me, but I understand completely why it happened. But here's the thing. Because I spent so much time loving, so much time with the spiritual work that I do, it turned out that even though I had a 99% blockage in a major artery that I was walking around with 3 weeks, I had absolutely no heart damage at all. They thought I was a miracle. They told me, don't even think that you had a heart attack. I was pumping out and still am pumping out more blood like an athlete, more than most people. And that's because I know I built a spiritual bank account that I can depend on. So, yes, things may happen to me. I've got a human body. But because I've got that bank account, because I can depend on something, it cushions me. It cushions the blow. It cushions the crisis. And that's what people have to do for themselves. They can start it now. They may make small deposits now. It makes no difference. But start your spiritual bank account now, and it will help cushion you through this crisis, which, by the way, is going to get worse before it gets better. The pendulum's not swinging back yet.
No, I really believe that. But when you run a business and you have all these people, you do look at all of them, and you're concerned because you're doing everything possible to bring it to them. But
you do, but it's their choice, Natalie, in the way that they accept it and whether they do or not. And so and here's the thing about that. I get it completely. I mean, that's what compassion is, and some people even have more compassion than others. Always understand, then, that nothing can hurt the soul, nothing. The virus can't, cancer can't, financial burdens can't, loss of love can't, nothing hurts the soul. The soul will always radiate. It will always continue eventually. So the point is that no matter what a person is going through, it never can end them. Never. Now, the suffering we would like to have stop. That would be really nice, okay? But even at a person's worst, they are never ended. They will never die in that way because there is no true death. Just the body can transform. And if we just understand that ourselves, we actually even feed that knowledge to them through energy, and it helps to strengthen their own energy, you know? So
right.
That's how I get through it. I know no matter how painful, and it does, I cry all the time for people because
yeah,
I hate the fact that they're suffering. I know you do.
Oh,
I was
do.
A hospice social worker.
Oh, I
know.
I was
going to
mention that. Yeah,
right?
That's tough. That, you know, people and everybody has to go through things, and I agree. But I mean, I don't cry; I sob. And when I get into that, it's bad. I mean, but it's really funny because I had to take care of my Alzheimer's patient, my husband at home. I took care of him, and he tried to hurt me every day. But none of that. Doesn't worry. It's okay. It's a pass. But I believed, you know, and I'm going to tell you this. I was on the bathroom floor, Vincent, with the door locked, sobbing, because I didn't know how much more I could continue doing this. And you know, I never retaliated. I never tried to hurt him back. He was a big man, big hands, probably should have been a boxer. He was that good.
Wow.
And I backed up, you know, and I'm on the floor crying, and I look down, and I saw the feet of Jesus. I saw bare feet and a part of a robe. Well, immediately, I didn't even have to think about it. It was like, okay, I stood up, I stopped crying, and I unlocked the door. And people all say to me, how did you survive? I said, because I had help that you couldn't see. Don't you get it? I was not hurt once. Not once. I was thrown and kicked and hit against a door. I did not break a bone. I did not have a bruise. Because I had help, and I believed it. So that was 8 years
ago.
I'm
going to give you the secret there that everybody can replicate. The reason why you had health is because you believed it first.
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I believed
you always
that
have,
I would have
You know,
it.
We may not always admit it or consciously recognize that we believe. But the only way we get to see, and this is even in the Santa Claus movie, my favorite movie of Christmas time, right? Believing is seeing. Seeing is not believing. That's not the way it's supposed to be. So the only reason why you even saw Jesus' feet is because you believed you could to start with. Your soul and you have this understanding and this inner faith. And maybe it doesn't. You don't even see your faith all the time. You see it when you need it. And that's
true,
how you know you have it, is you see it when you need it.
It's like, I just know. My son will say, well, Mother, how do you know? I just know. Just know, you know. You know, the age that I am, it gets scary because you figure, well, when is your name going to be on that page? But Well, I had my granddaughter over yesterday. We were talking about it. She's 16, and I said, what I'm doing with you is making memories. And she says, well, but I want you. I said, well, you know, am I going to live to be 105? She says, well, why not?
God, why?
Well, I said, if I'm walking and talking, and
yeah, really, that's
like
no
I
problem.
Am now, oh, my God, yes. Let's
if
go.
You're Betty White, sure, go ahead,
oh,
man.
I love
yeah.
that, and I love that lady. I just love her.
Right.
And so, you know, I mean, I'm not as old as her, but, you know, I'm just saying that. And, you know, she said, well, I don't know. I said, I want to be here when you're a mother, when me, and I'll be a grandmother, or you, and when you graduate from college, and I'll be here for high school and all of that. And she kind of looked at me, and she says, well, you're asking for a lot. I said, that's right. I said, damn straight I am. I am. And I can get it. And
yeah, you can,
that
absolutely.
That's my desire, because I believe that I will continue with what I'm doing, and it's basically because of the work I do.
Right.
I do, you know what I'm saying? I give, and sometimes I get upset about it. You probably do also. Because that's
oh, yeah.
we're human.
Oh, yeah.
We're human.
Of course,
say, okay.
We definitely get, yep.
We get a little ticked off. Well, what's going on here? What's the story here? I mean, you know, am I going to run me to the ground? You know?
Right.
But,
well,
but,
what ticks me off is when I get people returning to me, asking me the same questions, I give them the same answers, and I'm like, listen, either you're going to follow some of the information that I'm giving you or you don't follow it, but at least give it a try. Don't keep coming back to me with the exact same problem and then ignore any of the opportunities and the guidance that I give you. I mean, it's not that I'm the be-all, end-all here, but you haven't even tried that. So why do you keep calling me back? Right?
Exactly.
You know,
now,
like,
we need
and
to
you
mention
keep complaining.
How can they reach you? Of course, your site is VincentGenna, GENNA.com. But is any one of the links there contact? How can they reach you? Say they want to get a...
Oh, yeah, the contacts are great. But if they go to my Facebook page, which is Vincent Jenna MSW, and they like it there, there are so many things I wind up doing, like Facebook Live, where I give free readings to who's ever there and shares my page there. Then I can do readings for them.
Okay.
I have a new television show that I am doing. It's actually a Zoom internet show. It's called The Back Nine. It's basically geared towards 55 and older for the boomers. And I do that every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern time, which is really cool. Plus my Unity online radio show, which is at noon every Wednesday Eastern time. And as soon as they go there, they'll see all the different things that I'm doing. They can watch so many different episodes,
okay.
download all this information and contact me there. And if they have questions, they're more than welcome to write me, because I do still do individual readings all over the world via Zoom, via the phone. And that's what really keeps me busy. So there's plenty of ways to contact me. Thank you for asking.
Well, no, I we're talking so much about everything that's going on. I want to, you know, give you a little promo here and let everybody know how to reach you. And my gal who does all the videos, all the marketing for me, she just said, can Vincent tell us a bit about how the academic training, about his academic training in his spiritual counseling service? How does that, she didn't type that totally, I'm probably not reading it right, but you know what she's talking about?
In other words, Mike, the classes that I hold, is
yes,
that what she's asking
yes,
about?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
I teach psychic classes. Actually, I'm just starting one. It's going to start in September. If you go to my website, you'll see the information about that. It's a four-week class. I can teach you how to open up your psychic pathways and start listening to your inner guidance, whether you're talking with the angels, God, your higher self, your soul, or deceased loved ones. We're going to learn how to do that. I teach mediumship classes as well. I even teach animal communication. That's going to be one of my next classes that I'll be teaching online. They're very powerful classes. I can say this about my class. I do not just work on the skill. In order for any of this stuff to work, you have to clear the channels. And by clearing the channels, that means healing some of the old issues and scars, because those are the things that get in the way of your intuitiveness and your abilities. Everyone is psychic. Everyone is a medium. We forgot how to do it. And so the more I help you clear your channels, the more that opens up. So people who take my classes actually see their lives transform besides gaining these skills. So the best way is go into my website and they can see the classes that I'm going to be doing and sign up, because I send out a newsletter only when I'm doing something and only for something important. You won't get inundated with emails.
Yeah, and it's very informative, your site. And again, that's Vincent, VincentGenna.com. Yeah, everything is there. Your workshop, everything is there. You won't even have to ask a question. All you do is look at the page, put your little mouse, little clicker over there, and click it. There's your little hand, and you'll go to it, and you can find out all this information about what you're doing. And, oh, it's been wonderful talking to you. I may have
to get
a reading
from you.
Oh, my God,
same here. You're such a delight, and you're such a light to others. Keep going. I know sometimes it can be really tough, especially now, but we're here for each other, right? We're here to help support.
Exactly.
And just to assure that you're doing the right work, okay? So just know that,
yeah.
Especially now. We need more light than ever before.
That's what everybody's saying when they come on the show, even last week who I had, and the weeks before, even just authors, not people that do talks, and I've had motivational speakers and all of, but they just say
right,
the work
right.
that you are doing, it, and I'm hoping that it is making a difference, because all of this is important, and they can always go to my show page, blogtalkradio.com/StarsWithAZcast, and listen to the show again. I'm going to be pushing it out on Twitter as soon as we're done. I do that. Candy, who's in the chat room right now, she's just wonderful. She said, thank you for sharing this time with us. You'll have to come back and visit with us again. Oh, I would love to have you back on the show.
Absolutely.
You
anytime. You just let me know, Natalie, anytime.
You were easy. I didn't have to do anything. And I'm not tooting my own horn, but we compliment each other. It's the work that
Absolutely.
You're doing and the work that I'm doing, and all it does is solidify it. So that when God is looking down, he's saying, look at the... Plus, we're almost familiar. I mean, we're both Italian. What can I tell you?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. You're wonderful. And,
Thank you.
I'm going to close the show here, and I'm going to let everybody know again. It's Vincent, VincentGenna.com. Go to his site and take classes, and there's just... there's just a lot. Listen to his radio show that he has. So many things that you're going to be doing, I don't know how you're going to keep up with yourself.
I know, really. Well, that's why I depend on the energy of spirit to keep feeding me, and it
that's
does,
right.
and it will feed everybody.
That's true, and I will get in touch with your publicist again when we can get you back on the show. Angela was wonderful. It was her idea. Now, you got to thank her.
I will.
Because,
she is fabulous.
Yeah. Oh, and this was booked a while ago, so... You know, it's been wonderful, and what a great time I've had, and it's made me realize I am doing the right thing. And don't be so hard on yourself, Natalie. You can't. Well, I hear that from other people. Yeah, you're not going to be able to solve all the things in the world that are going on, but you know what? Damn it, I'm going to try. I'm not very big, but I'm mighty. I really, really am. And I believe so strong. Well, you probably know that in me, Vincent. You can probably
absolutely, hear it. Absolutely. We need that power.
Yes, I'm just so strong with everything that I do. So thank you again, and thank you everybody for listening in. And like I said, you can hear the show again, and I'm going to push it out on Twitter as soon as we're done. And I'm going to end the show like I always do, and that is believe in things you cannot see because they really are there. And with that, I will say goodnight. I'll talk to you soon, Vincent, okay?
Okay. Bye-bye now. You take care.
Bye-bye. Yes, you
bye-bye.
Too.
Bye-bye.
Hey! everyone could be who they were really meant to be, without limitation, discrimination. This world could show all its colors, so get the chill.